Welcome to Restoring Home, where today we'll discuss marriage, parenting, and faith. And today's topic is the central premise behind restoring home. Donna, I want us to take a little time today to help everyone understand the image or the design behind all the episodes that we'll have of Restoring Home. And I want to begin by asking you a question about your experience with family and with home. You and I grew up in our families, which were to a large degree dysfunctional, and yet we left home after we became Christians and met many other families. And if you don't mind, tell people what the first time that you remember seeing a family that you thought to yourself, wow, this is what a Christian home really is. So just tell a story about that.
Well, I want to back up just a little bit. I did go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We were there all the time. But if just one parent goes to church, they're like a single parent, and they're not invited a lot. So I really hadn't seen what it looked like to have a husband and wife following the Lord, leading a family. So in college, I babysat for the campus minister and his wife, Terry and Charlotte Smith, and they invited me to come early, and I shared a dinner tradition that they have, supper. At supper time, they would read a passage of scripture, and it was so cute. They had four little girls and all the different ages, stair steps, and they would ask, while they were reading the scripture, each kid and adult would have to listen really hard to think of a question to ask the person to their left. So, of course, you had to consider the age of the person to your left to know what kind of level question to ask. So I remember one question to the 2 or 3 year old was, how many temptations were there? Because they had read the temptations of Christ. And she, because they had emphasized that a lot during the reading, she knew the answer. So she was really excited. So then she asked a question. But then when it came time for the dad, he asked a second grader, have you been tempted today? And I'll never forget, it was so precious. She just went into this elaborate story of how she wanted to steal the person sitting next to her in school their lollipop or something. And so it was just so precious how they were already discuss and felt very open and comfortable to talk about anything and everything, and that they were making it applicable to life. And I just was like, I want that. That's what I want to do. I want to have a family where we talk about things about the Lord all the time. And we'd have. So yeah, it's been good.
I remember the first time I had that, I want that sensation too. I was in East Africa. You're remembering me telling you this. So I was in East Africa. We weren't married. In fact, I had decided I didn't know if I was interested enough to marry you.
We'd yes, I remember that.
You remember that. And you were in Brazil and on a mission, summer college mission trips. And I was with Fielden and Janet Allison. We'd been out. He and I had been out for 4 days on a long survey trip where we were looking at a tribal area where we considered possibly coming back. Bring a team back and begin church planting. So after that trip, we came home, and I remember getting out of the back of his Land Cruiser, dirty, beat up. I was really tired. I was done, and I imagine he was too. But we got out of the truck, and as soon as we did, here comes his family. Fielden and Janet had, I think, 3 children at the time, maybe 4. The youngest one was 2-ish, a little blonde girl. And we got out, and here the family comes out like in a train. They're running out to see Dad, and the kids hug Dad, you know, grabbing his knee,
Daddy,
the little
Daddy.
Ones, Daddy, Daddy. And Janet came out and gave him a kiss, and he picks up the little ones and everything. And we go in the house, and that was okay, but it wasn't overly impressed, but it adds to the story. So then later that evening, we went in to eat, and Janet had prepared, and we were in East Africa, so it makes it a little more special. We've been out 5 days eating African foods, which are fine, but they're just not our cuisine. And so we came in, and she had mashed potatoes and with gravy and corn and fried chicken.
It was I don't know how she did that in Kenya.
All from scratch. I'm sure they went out that day and caught the chicken.
Right.
It was from scratch. And made this home meal. And when we finished that, the kids scurried off to mm-hmm. bed. They had a generator instead of electricity, so they just had candles that evening because the fuel was expensive. So candlelight, big meal, welcome home, Dad. And Janet went over, they had a piano. She started to play music on the piano. And I thought, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I had that. I want. And I sat down and started writing a letter to you. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a kind of a long, mushy letter to you mm-hmm. that I basically said, I'm in. And I'm going to go for this.
And I have thanked them over and over for that.
I'm thankful, too.
And it was the only letter I got out of many.
That's right.
Because the mail systems between Africa and yeah. Brazil, Kenya and Brazil, did not connect
yeah.
very
no
well.
No email back then. So, since we're on that, let me ask you. And we've been around lots of families over the years. Many good families, great families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen a lot, and you know, in counseling and dealing with a lot of places where we've gone, where there are not even many Christians, we work with a lot of non-Christian people. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a lot of distress, a lot of problems in families. We've seen dysfunction at extreme levels, and as well as we've been with some really strong Christian people. So what maybe are two or three things that you've seen that you would say are the major differences that you've noticed between families who are truly Christ-centered, Christ-focused mm-hmm. families versus those who may be at best good, just you know, good public citizen type folks who do good?
Mm-hmm.
What are the differences between the Christ-centered family mm-hmm. and that? Have you got two or three things that come to mind?
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were, I guess our kids were maybe two and newborn, I had listened to a cassette tape series by Dr. Larry Crabb, and in that series, he had interviewed a whole bunch of really strong men and women in their faith and asked that question of what made the difference for you so that you think that you chose to follow God. And I was really curious to know what that was because I wanted to make sure and do that. Mm-hmm. And in one way, the answer was encouraging because I was like, okay, you know, that's two things that I can focus on. But in another way, I was like, wow, that both of these things are things that you constantly have to be on top of your game and making sure that you're really, truly living that life. And they were these two things. One was that the parents loved each other. These adult Christian people knew their parents loved each other. And doesn't mean they never argued, but they forgave one another and everyone knew that they were reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing was that each parent had an authentic, a very real relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just a go to church, try to look good, try to look a certain way, and or as a family to look a certain way. The kids knew they're really applying this to their life. And, of course, like I said, it was two things that I could narrow it down to. But then I also had to, you know, wonder and ask myself that question is, am I really seeking the Lord? And am I really making sure that we're working on that relationship, our relationship, mm-hmm. and keeping it healthy?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that helped me because I could always come back to making sure that those are the two things we're focusing on. And I do think that has made a difference for our children.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I can think of some other things that are just other things that I would add in, but those will be for maybe a later episode.
Good. Yeah.
Can you think of something that you would add to that?
I think I've seen that it's like, and I got this from one of the professors that was giving me some training when mm-hmm. I was preparing for getting my counseling license and stuff. He said, it's sort of like this. It's like when you get in the cold water bathtub,
mm-hmm.
you're going to shiver and your lips are going to turn blue because of the environment, of the cold water environment. It's going to mm-hmm. affect you. And so when you see kids, and you watch how they behave, for one, but also their attitudes, their heart behind their mm-hmm. behaviors. Notice, pay attention to those because those will tell you something about the environment of home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see kids who, there are kids who are well behaved, but they have rotten attitudes. about doing it. They'll do the right thing, but it's not really from the heart. And if you're very discerning and take time to notice, you'll know when a child is really from their heart doing the right thing, and when they're just doing it because they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
And you really don't want it to be done just because they're supposed to. You really want them to do it because something in them wants to do that. It's inclined towards that goodness. Mm-hmm. And so how to get that heart is because the parents have that heart. Now, when kids get grown and they leave home, they make decisions, they get in bad water, they get in bad environments, mm-hmm. and that will affect what they do from then on. Mm-hmm. But while they're at home, is what I'm talking about, it's really the home environment that has the chief influence on them. Parents can allow kids to step outside of that environment for influence, mm-hmm. and those influences can have a bad effect on the kids and put that blue in their lips kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those influences can be television and media, can be friends, can be a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
But parents who really have created and crafted a home environment that is godly and God-fearing, those kids will pick that up, and you mm-hmm. see that heart coming out in them, mm-hmm. that heart for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what I want to do now, I want to draw for everybody a little diagram that we're going to use mm-hmm. that we believe is central. It's a central thought. We want this to become the symbol that people think of when they think of how to restore their home, how to restore their marriage, or how to restore their relationship with their kids, or their kids' relationship with each other. We want them to think of this little diagram. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we're going to be putting it into a logo for Restoring Home. It's already almost done. Phil Rose, one of our members here, who's just a gifted, talented artist, mm-hmm. is putting it together, and I understand he's got the final touches going on it soon, so we'll reveal that maybe the next time.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to show really quickly just what's behind Restoring Home in this quick little drawing. First of all, I think some of us who are studied a little bit of Hebrew know that there's the letter Beit, and Beit is the symbol or the image of a house. And as I look at it, here's the house. And so in the house, you know, you're going to have dad and mom, and you're going to have the kids, so symbols for the family. And then we have the door. And so here's the door open. This is God's house, where there's protection all around on the sides, and there's this open part out here where people are welcome to come in to the house. So, over the house is a symbol that I want to draw here. And I want to say this is central. This is core as well, the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I were to take this symbol and make it a little larger, I want to point out a few things. And this is kind of behind the thinking behind Restoring Home, how we restore our marriages, how we restore relationships mm-hmm. between kids, and what we're after. So here's the wife, and here's the husband, let's say. I have people come a lot during counseling, and they ask me questions about how do we, you know, we have an issue, there's a problem, he's saying, she's saying, he's not doing, she's not doing, the problems that we have mm-hmm. in marriage. And people want to know, how do we resolve the relationship so that the two of them, the husband and the wife, get closer to one another? And mm-hmm. Many counseling techniques or counselors begin to talk about communication between him and her, or to talk about activities they can do together to draw the marriage closer. And I've learned that that is not the place to start. It doesn't seem that would be a bad place, but it just doesn't work mm-hmm. unless some other things are in place first. And so what we want to do in order to draw the two of them closer together is I tell them both they need to emphasize God.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I encourage families to do is for the husband, you grow and develop your relationship with God. And I speak to the wife and I encourage her, you grow and develop your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
This is your emphasis. Let's start doing some things that practically move each of you closer toward God. And as you go closer toward God, you will see that you begin to grow closer to one another. And as you get really close to Him, you will find that you're really close to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that works. That really works. Now, some people will have said to me, well, Steve, what if I'm the only one that's mm-hmm. trying to do this? Or my wife is not working as hard at it as I am. It's usually the other way around, by the way. It's usually the wife's working hard at it and the husband's not. Mm-hmm. But let's say my wife is only doing a little bit, or maybe she's not doing anything. Well, she's not involved at all. But I'm putting out all the effort in my growth toward God. Mm-hmm. Then what about that? How do we reconcile things? And I tell them, continue to do your best to grow in your relationship with God, because you are still closer to her or to one another than you would have been had you stayed where you were. So to any degree that you move, either one of you is moving in a relationship toward God, you're getting closer to one another. And then those tools that have to do with communication and with forgiveness mm-hmm. and all sorts of other things that we can learn to do and need to do, those things will work, because we are getting closer to one, we're getting closer to Him. So my emphasis and our emphasis here in Restoring Home mm-hmm. is to, for all, both of us, both parties, to move closer toward God. Mm-hmm. And we'll find that that works not only in family, but it also works with children. One last thing, the way I would like to apply this is that in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, there's something going on there where this applies, and this is very powerful in relationship to our relationship with one another in a body of believers. Mm-hmm. And so in that passage, it says that in the, Paul is talking and he says that in the church, there are different gifts, and he lists those gifts. And so I'm going to write them in the menorah pattern. I believe Paul learned them as a rabbi, being taught by a rabbi. Mm-hmm. He learned them as a Jewish thinker in probably a menorah pattern, and he listed them in a sequence, like a Greek. But I'm going to unpackage that a little bit for us here. And so he says in the body that there are some who are given the gift of prophecy, and some are given, he says, if you've been given the gift of service, then serve. He says, if you've been given the gift of teaching, then teach. If encouragement, then encourage. And he says, if it's giving, then do so generously. If it's in leadership, then be diligent about that. Or if it's in the gift of mercy, then be merciful. And so these are a pattern here. This is a template or a menorah pattern, mm-hmm. I believe, here, because in a body of believers or in a family, if you have the prophet, which is like the black and white, right and wrong, this do this and live, do that and die, not prophecy, not the prophet that is telling the future or saying this will come. Right. It's saying do this and live, do this and die, black and white kind of guy. You need those kinds of people in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. But you have to have mercy, because if you just have black and white all the time, nobody measures up. So you need mm-hmm. to have the merciful. But if you only have those who are merciful, just do whatever you want to do, and we'll forgive you, and you don't have a right or wrong, then you're also going to fall mm-hmm. into all kinds of things. You will not be encouraged. And so having prophets in the body, those who know the right and wrong things to do, and those who are able to forgive when people fail to do, they know how to handle those who fail to do the right and do the wrong things, then if you have both of those, your body will be encouraged, in the same in a family. Mm-hmm. So parents, you need those who are strict and have the rules and know right and wrong.
Which one
but
are
there
you?
Has to be mercy. Which one am I? I don't want to commit yet. I've sometimes been the wrong one. How about that?
And so, oh, they're both right?
Yeah, that's right. So, and then there are also those who, and then in the body, there are those who serve and those who lead, but you don't want a bunch of bosses. Right, in a church. You don't want a bunch of bosses. Mm-hmm. You want those who serve, but they need to know where we should go. Mm-hmm. So you need servant leaders. You need leaders who will also serve And so that happening in a body brings about encouragement. Mm-hmm. It builds up. To encourage means to edify or build up. And so, and then there are also those who teach and those who give. But you want teachers who do what they teach. And you want those who teach to be able to tell others, here's how or why we do what we do. And so all of these being in balance brings about an encouraged group of Christians. And in a family, you need this as well. And Donna, this is, you know, I use this sort of like a diagnostic tool. That if you took this and you put it over a person and you see that they're not encouraged, they're discouraged, or the family is not encouraged, it's not functioning well, you put this diagnostic tool up and it will tell you, here's what's wrong. Either there's a bossy family member who's leader, but they're bossy, they're not serving, they're not doing their part. Or you have somebody who is a legalist, do this, don't do this, but they're not merciful. Or somebody who's just so merciful, whatever you want to do, and no guidelines, then you will have a discouraged or a not encouraged young child in your family.
Yeah.
And so this little diagnostic tool also fits our pattern.
Cool.
Because these things are on her side, and we know that on the right-hand side on are the internal or unseen things, and a woman is internal by nature. And then on him, we have the externals. And these are the things, the giving, the leading, and the showing mercy. These are like things you can actually do, but yet understanding right and wrong, a heart of service, and understanding how things go together so you can explain them to others. Those are more internal things. So you get this side right, and then you practice it on this side. If you don't have it right on this side, and you're only going through the motions over here, you don't have encouragement. If you have understanding, but you're not applying it over here, you don't have encouragement either. And so this is what we would, how we use this pattern, this triangular pattern throughout in our symbol for restoring home. And we put this, I draw it this way. So here's our home where God says, come in everybody and bring mom and dad and the kids in here. And I'm glad Phil is drawing this because I'm surely not the guy to do it. So
I think you're pretty good, huh? Better than I would be doing.
And over the roof, to tie it all to protect from all the spiritual forces of darkness and the externals of life, we have this pattern of how to go forward, how to grow as a family and restore home, which is to have God at the top and pay attention to the internals as well as the externals. So we'll be working off this model in the days to come. And hopefully we'll also be interviewing in the next few weeks some families who are also doing a grand job. And we'll get to expose everybody who's watching Restoring Home. Good.
That's exciting.
So I have something. Be sure to check in the link below. There's something there for the kids. We have the a drawing so the kids, the younger kids, can color or draw or use this logo. So we want them to have that and explain it to your kids. Kind of show them how this all works so that they too can begin to understand these principles for themselves and of course their families down the road. And then we have something for mom and dad and for older kids to discuss. It's a PDF. All of this is in PDF format there. So be sure to get those. They're in the link below. And be looking for next week when we get together next time with a guest to talk about restoring home. God bless you. See you next week.